Good morning. We're thankful to be here this morning. We're thankful for each one that's gathered here in the house of God. Appreciate the goodness of God. We were invited to come, and we prayed about it and feel like the Lord would have us to come. So we're here by the grace of God. We're here to, by the grace of God, to be a blessing, to encourage you, to strengthen you in the things of God. We would say very readily that Satan is not here to encourage you. Don't expect any kind of encouragement or strength or help in doing the right thing from the devil. And so we have to realize, as the people of God, a lot of that falls upon us to encourage one another, to do what we can to be a source of strength to one another, because the devil's not going to come and lift you up and strengthen you and cause you to stand for God. But by the grace of God, we can do that for one another. I'd like for the congregation to turn to song number 289 and sing verse 1, please. Amen. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord help us. May God cause us to be strengthened and encouraged because of His Word. And may we ever be steadfast in God. We look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, as we look at verse 7, which says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." May the Lord help us. Now in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, as we read in the Word of God, it lets us know, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You know, that's saying quite a bit within itself, that it's actually impossible to please Him without faith. So we realize that the enemy is going to be working hard to come against your faith and against mine. We recognize that it's one of the things that Jesus spoke unto Peter, and He said that Satan has desired to have thee, but I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. We recognize over in Luke, the 18th chapter, when it's speaking about the unjust judge, one that didn't fear God, nor did he regard man. And the scripture goes on to speak. In verse 7 it says, "And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear along with it?" It says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Yes. But it goes on to say, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, Christ hasn't yet come, but it speaks that when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith is something that the enemy is definitely bombarding. But we find the Word of God is saying that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You need to believe that God does exist. And as I think of that, as I look back over in life, I can't really find a time as I search in my own mind where I wrestled with the fact as whether God actually existed or not. I'm not trying to damn those that may be in that place, but I'm just saying I've never yet, by the grace of God, been in that place. And I hope that God will help me that I'll never be in a place like that, where I'm actually wrestling with the thoughts of whether God actually exists or not. Yes. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. God is. And it goes on to say, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To actually understand that God is. And that he is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That we can actually seek God and believe and know that God can change the circumstances that we are dealing with as we go through life. It's one of the reasons why we do pray. We actually believe that God can change things. Even Brother Jonah was very disobedient. But I have to hand it to him that even though he was down in the belly of the fish, he prayed, and I believe he prayed because he believed that God could change things. Yes. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, and the Word of God lets us know, Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know, and to me, some of these things, as I would consider them to be foundational truths. You know, to me, that's something. The Word of God says, in the beginning, God created. She must believe that he is. I believe that God created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't wrestle with that. You know, Doran can look at it however he wants to. And may God have mercy on him. He was brought up in Sunday school. But he turned his back on the truth that he knew. And went out to try to find a way of some kind of way of believing in creation without God. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, and I think about the fact that man was not created first. So man wasn't there to see those things. That comes back down to faith. Amen. Through faith we understand. You know, there's more out there than what meets your eye. There's actually more out there than what you can see. Even though you have 20/20 vision. In Isaiah the 11th chapter, we find in the Word of God, and it's speaking there, Isaiah 11:3, and I believe this is speaking about Christ, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Maybe it's speaking about Christ or someone else, but it's speaking that he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. You know, a lot of times we get involved with what we can see. We get involved with what we can hear. You know, and it'd be a horrible thing, you know, and get to church and the minister don't have a text, but he sees somebody have on this or have on that, and then he's got a text. But no, we don't want to get something because of what we see. We don't want to get something because of what we hear. We want to actually get something that come down from God.
Amen.
Something that God gives us. Because man may look at the outward appearance, but God will look at the heart. God actually knows what is needed. See, so preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Give what God gives to you. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteous judgment shall he judge the poor. And reprove with equity the meek of the earth. See, there's something there that it's not going to be all about what you're able to see, but have something that actually come from God. Now, I want us to be encouraged. I know we have eyes. God gave us eyes. I know we have ears. God gave us ears. But I believe at the same time, in the midst of all of that, we want to begin to learn how to listen and see what God is saying. In the midst of all those things, that we don't want to be just so carried away with what our eyes might see. So carried away with what our ears might hear. But in the midst of all of those things, actually hearing what God may have to say about it. And letting what God has to say about it override what we may actually see with our eyes. And what we may actually hear with our ears. In John the 20th chapter, as we look at verse 25, and this is after Christ was crucified. And we find that verse 19, the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now we can understand by the scripture that Thomas was not there at that gathering. And he decided, it says in verse 25, except I see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in its side, I will not believe. So may God help you and I. You know, there's some time we can let the things that we're able to see, the things we're able to feel, stand in our way. See, I'm just not going to believe. I don't allow the devil to work with your mind to conjure up things why you cannot believe God. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were with him. Thomas with them. Then came the doors, Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, peace unto you. Then he said unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Now, I don't really know, but, you know, they come up with some things over there in Jerusalem. And there are many things they're able to show you. Maybe one day I'll get to go over there. But if I get to go over there, I'm not looking for an increase in faith. I'm not looking at, well, if I can get over there, you know, they say they found the shroud, I believe they had about Jesus' head. You know, whether they found it or whether they didn't find it. It has no effect upon my belief in God. You know, it'd be nice maybe to go back over there and they can show me, well, this is a place, the spot, the Jordan River, where they actually baptized Jesus, but I don't think it's going to have any effect on my faith. See, we need to actually believe in God. Amen. It's not about what we're able to see. It's not about what we're able to feel. But he went on to tell Thomas, you know, reach into the hand, thrust it in my side. But he said, be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen. They that have not seen and yet believe, praise the Lord. You know, we come down right in the midst of that. Do you actually believe God? Do you pick up the word of God and deep down within you, you believe his word? Or are you one of the scoffers on the outside looking in? You know, I don't believe. You know, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, I believe he said, oh, you fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, I want to be in a place where I believe the word of God. Matthew the 14th chapter and verse 29. Jesus come walking on the water. But straightway Jesus spake unto them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Praise the Lord. Amen. Peter was walking on the water. Thank God. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. You know, many times we can move out in faith on what God wants us to do. But if we're not careful looking at the conditions, just looking at the surroundings, we can find ourselves in a place of fear. You know, there can be a lot of things, the winds blowing here and there. When he saw the wind boisterous, that's what he saw with his natural eye. But when he saw it, it had an effect on him. You know, the things that we see can affect us as we go along the way. I'm not saying that we want the Lord to cause us to be blind. But I'm just saying that sometimes we need to be careful how our eyes affect us. Don't just put so much weight on what your eyes see. Don't put so much weight on what you hear. How often a sight hinders us. You know, he saw it. He began to sink. Now the songwriter in Psalm 284 begins to bring out some thoughts to us in verse 4. Says, the waves around may fiercely roll. You know, long as I don't have any waves, or don't let there be any waves, then I won't have to worry about seeing them. But it says, the waves around may fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to thee. The darkest night, and brazen sky are pierced by faith's unfailing eye, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how dark it might be. It no matter how much the wind might be blowing. May God help you and I that our faith can be sustained by the grace of God. My cry shall be till time shall cease. Oh, blessed Lord, my faith increase. She regarding not what I may see. Have your faith affixed on God. You know, the word of God speaks about men's hearts failing them for fear. And looking on all the things that are coming upon the earth. See, looking. I'm not saying close your eyes and put your head in the sand like an ostrich. But I challenge you also that you may be overloading your mind. I'm not sure that our mind was really developed to handle all the things that we have coming our way. I'm not sure the mind was developed that way. But with technology, we have special ability to, I believe, actually overload our mind more than it was designed to handle. I don't know if the mind was really designed to be able to handle all the things, the famine that's going on over there in Africa, and yet comprehend what's going on in China, and the flood up there in some other place, and the things that are going on in yet another. And then the bombing over here, you can actually have access to all those things almost the same time. I think it's enough to overload the mind. Amen. So I believe that sometimes we need to monitor how much information we take in. I know we should be in prayer. Well, I want to know everything that's going on with the political scene. And every day they had each other's throat. Every day they got something going on. Every day seemed like it's a new thing. They're just fighting and carrying on. You need to know all of it, really. Maybe you can eat some of it, but I tell you, when it start making you sick, maybe you better back off. Looking after those things that are coming on the earth. Well, and I don't want to step in on any toes, but you know, global warming's liable to get us. You better watch out. One woman, she got so stirred up, she was saying, maybe I shouldn't even say what she was saying, but you know, she was saying something about we're eating the old people, we need to eat the babies. She's talking about, we need to start getting rid of the babies, too many people. Devil get you in hysteria. Amen. I'm not saying we need to be foolish. But I'm going to tell you something. God was taking care of this world long before I got here. And it's the power of God that's going to keep it going right on. Amen. What can I do about some of these things? God's the one that caused the earth to turn, to make the sun come up in the east over there. What am I going to do if a mighty God decides I'm going to make it turn another way? I can't do nothing about it. Sun coming up in the west. What can I do? That's in God's hands. Must believe that he is. If you need some peace of mind, if you need your nerves to be settled, you need to begin to believe that God is, praise the Lord, and that God is over everything. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Not realizing that God is in control. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. You have the prophet Elijah over there. You know, and the people, the enemy has surrounded the city. Elisha, 2 Kings 6 and 15. And he had a servant. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do?
You know, sometimes when we look at things, we just kind of wonder, well, Lord, what can we do? But you know, Elisha, being a man of God and understanding the things of God, he and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. May God open our eyes, praise the Lord. The word teaches you and I, the angels of the Lord, encamp about them that fear him to deliver them. I've had deliverance many times, praise the Lord. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. But see, what he saw with his literal eyes was troubling. But when he began to see, said the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. You know, sometimes I actually wonder what's wrong with us. I believe that the angel of the Lord encamp about them that fear him to deliver them. We can't see him. At least a lot of times we can't see him. Then you got that donkey over there seeing that angel, and I just wonder, can the animals see? Or did God do something special there? I don't know. Is it just that maybe we have the handicap? But God said, open his eyes. I don't know that I've ever seen a literal angel. But it said, be careful to entertain strangers, that some people have entertained angels unaware, praise the Lord. Sometime I'm persuaded the angels are talking to me, praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. But sometime I believe it's the angels. One time long, some time ago, maybe a few years ago, in bed early, Sunday morning, gone to sleep, just sleeping away, felt something tap my foot. Woke up, looked back there, nothing back there by my foot. Seemed like the Lord said, get up and work on that message. I don't know what it was. But I didn't see anything, but I felt something touch my foot. Amen. God is real. Don't allow the devil to come to you and discount the things that God is doing in your life. Because God wants to manifest himself unto you, and he will do it, and he has been doing it. But the devil wants to come along and discount what God has done in your life. You know, God can do some things, and you look at it at the moment, it's like, I know that was God. The devil come along, oh, that's just coincidence. There's a brother going along in his truck. And I'm not going to excuse him for doing what he was doing, but he had an old truck clipping along close to 900 miles an hour. Highway patrol or something caught up with him. Why are you driving so fast? Well, I need to get here, there, or something, he said. And I don't know if the police wrote him a ticket or just gave him a warning. But he said, slow it down. Slowed it down about 60 miles an hour, continued on where he was going. I think he got about a block from where he was going, and there he was rolling around about 5 miles an hour, and the front wheel just fell off. Amen. Now I want to say what was holding that wheel on while he was rolling about 100 miles an hour down the road. You know, them angels is good, praise the Lord. You had anything like that? I've had a lot of experiences. Amen. Where it just seemed like things happened just in timing, praise the Lord. I believe God was right there. Yes. Yeah. Let's see, if you don't want to believe God, the devil will tell you something else. Amen. And you won't see the goodness of God. Over here in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, you got a widow woman that had a child. Now the child done got sick. And when he was taken up in verse 20 and brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She got somebody that done died. And the husband is asking her, you know, where are you going? She wanted to go find the prophet of God. And the husband is wondering what is going on. And she said, it shall be well. Amen. She finally got to about where the prophet was. Said, run now in verse 26. Run now, pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. It wasn't about what was going on. She believed by faith. It is well, praise the Lord. She wasn't looking at all what was going on around her. Sometimes we need to take our eyes off of the things that are going on around us and place your eyes on Jesus, praise the Lord. Begin to look at all of what God has done. You got Elijah. God done blessed him. Called down fire from heaven. And then you got Elijah hearing what Jezebel wants to do, and he started running for his life. Amen. And he got out there in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and verse 11. And God said unto him, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains. Amen. And break in pieces of rock before him. You know, a lot of demonstration, but it's said, but the Lord was not in the wind. You know, there could be a lot of wind blowing at us and a lot of things coming our way. But it said the Lord was not in the wind. Don't always look for God in the wind. And after that, an earthquake. A fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now what I'm trying to get a hold of is when you're going through life and you got the fire going on and you got the earthquake going on and you got the wind blowing so loud that down in the midst of all that, you can still hear the voice of God. And what is God trying to say to you right there in the midst of that trial and test? Praise God. We can get the following, the wind and the fire and all those different things. We can get the following fear. We can be afraid. The fears. All the different things. But I just want to say that fear cannot dictate what God will do. Amen. Fear can't dictate what God will do. Grief can't dictate what God will do. How much we tremble can't dictate what God will do. God is God. And we need to believe Him and not the circumstances that we're surrounded with. God is not in the store. He wasn't in all that. You look at song number 489. And the songwriters bringing out some things. We look at verse 1. Please, he said, I've seen the lightning flashing. Yes. Do you see it, brother? Yeah, I see it. I see it. I'm not blind. I see it. See, I've seen the lightning flashing. It's not because we can't see. It's not because we can't hear. Well, something wrong with him. He can't see. No, we can see it. But we have something that goes on beyond what we can see. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've filth. Sin's breakers dashing. Trying to conquer my soul. Have mercy, O God. Have you ever felt that? Amen, I felt it. I remember one time. Seemed like the devil just came right up and got right in my face. And let me know, I'm going to get you. But this time next year, I'm going to get you. And it affected me so bad, I wrote it down on the calendar. And that's been over 30 years ago, I believe, and I'm still running, praise God. Amen. Amen. But I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. But in the midst of it all, I believe the songwriter said, I heard the voice of my Savior telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Amen. You got the old king over there in the book of Daniel. You folks need to bow down. You know, in my own mind, I don't know. But no doubt he's like, they didn't bow down, so he called them. And in my mind, no doubt he had a place right up there close by the furnace. This is my mind. Right up there close by the furnace so they could actually feel the heat. You ever felt the heat from Satan? Amen. Right up there, no doubt, just feel the heat. You know, so they could actually look at the flames, no doubt. But they say, we are not careful to answer thee, O King. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, we will not serve thy gods nor bow down. Right in the midst of all the things that Satan has going, and over there he heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated. Heated up real hot. You know, there are things that will come our way in life, but we need God. But God is a mighty God. Amen. He's there to sustain us. He's right there to strengthen us. You got over there in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and you find there the scripture is letting us know something. It says, casting all your care upon him. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care up on him. Cast it all on Jesus, praise the Lord. Amen. Seemed like Brother Hargrave's telling a story about a man that was going along. Picked up a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker had a big old backpack on his back. The man got in the vehicle still with the backpack on there. The person told him, you can take your backpack off. I can carry you and your backpack. You know, some people, after they come to the Lord, seem like they still trying to carry it themselves. I'm saying, cast it on the Lord, praise the Lord. He shall care because he careth for you. Be sober. You know, we're not a people this way. We don't know what's going on. It's saying, be sober, praise the Lord. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. You know, the devil can really roar sometimes. You know, out there in the forest, a little literal lion can roar. He can roar so loud until the other animals just make him tremble. Can almost get to shaking things. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, you know, seem like the devil gets a roaring so loud sometimes. Seem like it's going to actually shake the table. You see the cup over there vibrating. The devil is roaring. You ever heard him roaring? I've heard him roaring. has a lot of things to say. You know, and I was thinking about somebody, maybe the devil over there roaring, maybe somebody else say, brother, woo, look at his teeth. I think it's about 3 inches. No, brother, it's 2.5. Help me get up there and measure. But he's roaring. Brother, I tell you what, when the devil gets to roaring, check my blood pressure. Well, you're checking blood pressure. Well, it done went up about 10 points. You know, the devil can put some things on your mind that can worry you. Amen. But I think about this. The songwriter in Psalm 144 begins to let us know some things. And I believe it's verse 5. May God help you and I. Yes, dear Lord. Verse 3. Why shouldst thou so fearful be? I don't know how the devil's roaring at you, but I want to say to you, why shouldst thou so fearful be at the tempter's roaring? Simply trust in God alone. Satan's wrath, ignoring. In the midst of all that, see God's tenderness and prove with the sainted host above his unfailing wondrous love. I'm talking about, praise God. I don't care what Satan is saying right now. His unfailing, wondrous love. You can look back down through the years and see what God has done for you. You can look back down through the years and see what he did for your father. See what he did for your mother. See what he did for you. Praise the Lord. Don't let the devil make you forget all those things. His unfailing, wondrous love. Ever for thee caring. Thank God for all that he does. Praise the Lord. Got a song I think I'm going to try to sing. Want you to try to help me a little bit. Especially on the chorus. I don't know if I can get it together, but anyway. I came to Jesus, sick of sin. He did not fail me then. He made me new without within and did not fail me then. I came to there, good time to him for cleansing from the inbred sin. He satisfied my longing then. He will not fail me now. He stilled the storm and calmed my fears, forgave my sin and dries my tears. He is the same through endless years. He will not fail me now. When Satan tried to draw me back, Christ did not fail me then, but kept me on the upward track and did not fail me then. While Satan tried his worst to do, my Lord was by my side, I knew. He answered prayer and took me through. He will not fail me now. He stilled the storm and calmed my fears, forgave my sin and dries my tears. He is the same. He will not fail.
me now. When in affliction, grief and pain, he did not fail me then. When no one cared, I to him came, he did not fail me then. I trusted him for keeping grace, to walk the path his hand had traced, and said while looking in his face, he will not fail me now. He stilled the storm and calmed my fears, forgave my sin and dried my tears. He is the same through endless years. He will not fail me now. When Abraham obeyed the Lord, he did not fail him then. And others faced the fire and sword, he did not fail them then. Lean hard on him, O tested soul, on him thy care and burden roll. Our God still lives and has control. He will not fail you now. He stilled the storm and calmed my fears, forgave my sin and dried my tears. He is the same through endless years. He will not fail me now. Amen. Satan is a liar. He will not fail you. Praise the Lord. We want to speak a little bit about what we call strength zappers. Things that will simply zap your strength. And you feel like you just cannot go on. You know, the devil has things that are designed to actually zap your strength. And when you feel it leaving, may God help you. But the word says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now the apostle Paul was in a place of a strength zapper. And I believe this has to do that when he was going to stand before one of the judges. Maybe I could be wrong, but anyway, the word of God is speaking. The apostle Paul is saying, at my first answer, no man stood with me. You know, when nobody's standing with you, nobody else seems to understand. Nobody seems to know what you're going through. That's a strength zapper. Yes. Amen. Take your strength away. The apostle Paul in another place. He's out there sailing in a ship. And they caught up. They're in a bad place. And they get on in a place. They're Acts the 27th chapter. Verse 20, and the word brings out and says, when all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Yes. When you're in a place like that, where that all the hope that you had has been taken away, then what are you going to do? Where you don't have any more hope. But may God help you to hope in God. Yes. Amen. Yes. Jonah over there didn't give up. He was in a bad place, but he still had a hope in God. Praise the Lord. Yes. Things that can zap your strength, take it right out of you. Where you were going along pretty good, and then it just hit you and seemed like things just weren't the same. 2 Samuel, the 4th chapter.
we find there's a war going on between David and the son of Saul. It says in 2 Samuel 4 and 1, and when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead, I believe that was the man over all his men, that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble. May God help us. You know, sometime bereavement can cause our hands to get feeble. Sometimes somebody going on can zap our strength. But may God help us not to look at the things around us, but hope thou in God. That God can yet take you through. Another place over in 2 Samuel 3 and 23. Things that are actually designed to stop you dead in your tracks. Just can't go on. But God can help you. 2 Samuel the 3rd chapter. Verse 23, and I believe this is Joab's brother. But Ash shall die. And it came to pass that everybody that came to the place where Ash shall die stood still. Amen. The devil has things designed to actually stop you. Yes. Right in your tracks. Just after that, I've never been the same. Never been able to quiet. Get it together. You know, you got Brother Lot over there. And it told them not to look back. And in my mind, the angels are holding both of them by the hand. Finally, the angels turn loose. And I don't know how long it was after that that Lot's wife looked back. She became a pillar of salt. I don't know just how it happened. Maybe they were walking along and Lot holding on to his wife's hand. And maybe it started feeling a little clammy and she slowed down. I don't know. Maybe realize he came back up. He can't turn around and maybe back up and say, look at it. He can't get her to go and have to, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to just stay right there? Am I going to move on? You know, there are some things that are going to stop you if you ain't careful, just dead in your tracks. But may God help you to look on by faith and not by sight. Lot's wife. Enough to stop you right in your tracks. Brother David over there going along. 1 Samuel the 30th chapter. 6 through 5. All spake of stoning him. How are you going to go on in a place like that? Confusion. Lord, this is so discouraging. But it said, David encouraged himself. And the Lord is God, praise the Lord. Amen. No doubt a lot of people would have stopped right there. Well, I tell you what, they all against me. I tell you what, we'll just go at it. I'll take a few of them out before they take me out. But I believe David, being a wise man, that if you're in a place of discouragement, I believe he realized first that before I can encourage somebody else, I need to get myself encouraged. Said David encouraged himself, and once he was encouraged, then he could begin to encourage his men, and God blessed them, and they went back and won, praise the Lord.
But there are places where the devil wants to stop you. You know, the apostle Paul said, within were fears and without were tumults. You know, but God blessed him and brought him on through it. Look at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, speaks about troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Amen. Not looking at all the things around us, not letting them affect us. Not in distress. Going on, praise the Lord. Precious Brother Daniel over there said he's the dissolver of doubts. I need some more of that. Where you can actually dissolve doubts. No doubt we all know how to get some doubts started, but how do you dissolve a doubt? Praise the Lord. Dissolver of doubts. Found in the same Daniel.
Not letting those things get the best of us. 2 Corinthians 4:8 as we begin to close out. We think about these things. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Praise the Lord. We can feel when we're cast down. We can feel when there's trouble on every side. It ain't because it ain't there. We can know when we're in a distressing situation. But God can bring us through by the grace of God. You know, the songwriter said, oh, blessed Lord, my faith increase. May the Lord help us as we walk through life. We're in life. Amen. We have a lot to deal with. But I want to encourage you to walk by faith. And not by sight. I would encourage you not to be overtaken with the things that you see going on around you, with the things that you hear. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be steadfast by the grace of God. The songwriter said, hear the voice of our commander standing firm. Holy pilgrims, take the armor standing firm. Shod in gospel preparation. Sword and helmet of salvation. Meekly hold the true position, standing firm. Fear not, brother, firm and true. Whate'er your foe may be, Jesus fought the battle through and gives to you, gives to us the victory. May the Lord encourage you on your journey as we walk by faith. And not by sight. Pray for me.